Now, come on, wasn't that kind of fun? Let's give the Lord a hand for all that he's done. It's fun to sing to the Lord. I love the songs, love singing to the Lord and worshiping him. Again, we're glad you're here. Welcome to any visitors we have with us here today. If you're visiting with us, we are glad you're here. And there's a place in the back of the bulletin you could fill out and leave it with someone or leave it in your chair there as you are dismissed today. But again, happy Mother's Day to each and every one, each and every mother that is with us today. This morning, I want to talk about really three of my greatest subjects in the Bible. One we're going to spend most of our time on this morning. I was going to do a complete Mother's Day message, but we understand that this message relates to mothers as well as fathers and to children and to each and every one that's here today. And this morning, I want to give us an understanding of what I consider, honestly, to be the greatest subject in all of Scripture. The subject that I can never quit studying, the subject that I can never quite understand, but yet the subject that I want to know more and more about each and every day of my life. And the longer that I am a Christian, and the longer that I have a walk with the Lord, the more I realize and the more I understand this subject and the more I see it applied in my life. And it helps me to recognize that, as I said last week, that there is one hero in the Bible and the hero is not me, but the hero is Jesus Christ. So the subject I want to speak to you about this morning is the subject of grace. The subject of grace. What does grace mean? And how does grace apply to my life in my daily living? And again, we could talk on this morning after morning for months and never get to the complete conclusion of all that grace is and all that grace means. There's different definitions of grace. Some people describe it as God's riches at Christ's expense. And that certainly is a definition of grace, that it is God's riches at Christ's expense, that God has given me his riches and his love, not based upon my ability or my being able to earn anything, but because of the work of Jesus Christ. If there's anything Christians sometimes need to understand more about, is, as I have said, it all comes back to the work of Jesus. And God is giving you and I grace, not based upon the merit of ourselves, but based upon the merit of another. And whose merit is that? That is the merit of Jesus Christ. God is able to love me and show mercy to me and show and give me grace not only today, but grace tomorrow because of the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And so that is what I've had to learn to depend upon, because as Christians, we want some credit. We want to say we have some ability. We want to say that we have learned to say no to this or yes to that, and we want to give ourselves some understanding. Even at times, even though we would fight you understanding that salvation is by grace, even at times we question whether we have had salvation or kept our salvation because of something we have done. And that all comes back to a misunderstanding of grace. So to get there this morning, we'll just remind ourselves a little bit of the love of God. The love of God. What is it to know the love of God? The Bible says in John 3 that God so loved the world. So there is a love of God. The Bible says, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So the Bible tells us that he does indeed have love. The Bible also tells us about his mercy. If you went to Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, in your Bibles, the Bible says, as I just said, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then Micah 6 and verse number 8, yesterday we were doing sound check and I was supposed to talk. And nobody thought I was talking like I preach. And now that I hear it, you're exactly right. I don't talk anything in sound checks like I actually talk when I'm preaching. So I questioned that all night, and now I realize you were exactly right. I was not talking like I normally preach. So in Micah chapter 6 and verse number 8, the Bible tells us about God's mercy. He says, "He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with God?" Now go to chapter 7 and verse number 18, where the Bible says this, "Who is a God like unto thee?" Question is asked. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever. But look at what the Bible describes God as. But he delighteth in mercy. That's a description of God. He delighteth in mercy. And we're getting to grace. I know I set grace up, but I wanted to kind of build to get there. But the Hebrew word for mercy comes from the same root word that is used for a mother's womb. If you can imagine that. Imagine that that same root word that we understand as mercy is that same root word that would be translated as mother's womb. And the Bible says, but God, he said, the Bible says, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. God is a God of love. God is a God of mercy. How has he been able to do this? Because I am not perfect or righteous in any way, but God, through the work of Jesus, of the Lord Jesus Christ, is able to extend love and mercy to all. Now we look a little bit at the word grace this morning, and this is where we'll park most of our time. And we'll probably go back and discuss mercy in longer terms and longer sermon in the future. But what does grace mean? What does it mean that God is a God of grace? Just a few thoughts as we get going with this word grace. Grace can neither be bought nor earned. Did you know that? If grace is bought or earned, it's no longer grace. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace can neither be bought or earned. Or one. You don't win grace. You don't buy grace, and you don't earn grace. If it could be bought, earned, or won, it would immediately no longer be grace. Jonathan Edwards says this. He says, "Grace is but glory begun, and glory is grace perfected." I like that. Grace is glory begun, and glory is grace perfected as we go to glory. Another idea of grace is that we understand, as I mentioned, that it is God's unmerited favor. In other words, you could look at the two different terms of mercy and grace, that mercy is God not giving me what I deserve, but grace is God giving me what I do not deserve. And I imagine you've probably heard that defined before, that grace is God literally giving me what I don't deserve. Now, how can that happen? I'm so glad you asked. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 11. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 11 in your Bibles, as we see just some ideas and the verses of the word grace. The Bible says in verse number 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." The grace of God. So what's our definition? God's unmerited favor, he says, God's expense, God's riches at Christ's expense, has appeared to all men. Then go to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians 2 and verse number 8. A great passage to understand grace. He says this, "For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, The Bible says here in verse number 8 of Ephesians 2, for by grace. So how am I saved? People always say, well, Josh, I need to get cleaned up before I get saved. Let me ask you something. Do you get cleaned up before the shower? Right? Is the shower not made to clean you up? And so we recognize here in verse number 8 that the grace of God, for by grace are you saved through faith. And then he says this, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Grace is a gift through the work of Jesus Christ. God is able to give me favor and to give me merit, not because of my own merit, but because of the merit of Jesus Christ. I've got myself in trouble before with this statement, but I'll say it again. And I believe this. I believe that through Jesus Christ, God can't love you any more than he already does. Because he loves us completely through the work of Jesus. Everything I have has come through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. If it could have happened another way, would that not have been what took place? If I could have earned my salvation, would that not have been the plan? If I could have somehow merited what God was going to do, maybe that should have been the plan, but I couldn't. And so God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and put him on the cross. He was crucified. He died upon the cross. And then he rose again the third day. And everything that I receive flows to me based upon the merit of Jesus. And I rest in that. When I go to heaven, you always see cartoons and everything about people arriving at the gates of heaven. And I'll be honest with you, there'll be one thing that is questioned. It will not be whether you helped people, whether you lived a good life, whether you were nice, friendly, or whatever. There is one entrance test for heaven and for eternity, and that is your faith in Jesus Christ. Because only through him can I have what I need. And what's amazing about it is this. This comes to me by grace. God giving me what I do not deserve based upon the merit and the work of another. For by grace are you saved through faith. And then he says this, and that not of yourselves. This may sound harsh, but I say it. Maybe we need to get over ourselves a little bit. What we need to put our faith and trust in Christ. The reason we go up and down so much is because we rely upon ourselves so much and we forget to rest in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Romans says it like this, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. God's grace is greater than your sin. He's made provision for that. So I'm saved by grace. God has given me his unmerited favor. Grace is a long definition of it. I've been defining it over and over. And like I said, it's one of my favorite things to talk about. But what is grace? Grace is the boundless goodness and kindness of God towards humanity. It reaches far beyond anything we could imagine. It is his boundless goodness and kindness towards humanity. Grace is the unlimited love of God expressing itself in grace. If you understand, have difficulty understanding grace, maybe you could exchange it for the word favor. Favor is a near biblical synonym to the word grace. Favor is grace, and grace is favor. Now, here's what I want to get to this morning. I always try to bring applications to anything that I preach to you. So let's talk about some applications of God's unmerited favor. God's grace that he has shown us and has shown us, as he said, for by grace you are saved. And there's many other verses we could go to. I'm trying to keep this as simple as we possibly can. And it's a gift to the mothers that I won't preach terribly long today, right? Just kidding. So the three declarations of grace. And this is really what I want you to understand. This is what I needed to understand as a Christian. It's what I needed to understand as a pastor and someone that is living my daily life. If you understand these things, it will help you glorify Christ for what he has done and minimize yourself. It will help you with your fear. It will help you with your worry. It will help you with things that you experience in your life because you can begin to understand what grace really is. As I have said, grace cannot be bought, grace cannot be won, and grace cannot be earned. If it was or could be, it would no longer be grace. So number one this morning about grace. This took me years to understand and even longer to apply. Grace is not withheld because of demerit. Grace is not withheld because of demerit. Let me help you understand this. Grace, true grace that comes from God through the work of Christ, finds its greatest triumph in the realm of human helplessness. Grace finds its greatest triumph in the realm of human helplessness. I am helpless. For your salvation, you're helpless. You can't keep the law, and if you could, I mean, you can't. We've all lied, cheated, stole, on we could go, right? Grace finds its greatest triumph in the realm of human helplessness. So why is it when we're most helpless, we doubt the grace of God? Why is it when we have made a mistake or we do something that we run away from God's grace when that's what God's grace is seeking to do, is to give you what you do not deserve today and tomorrow? You don't deserve heaven, but God has given you that through Christ. I don't deserve forgiveness of sin, but God has given me that through Christ by faith in his finished work. Grace finds its triumph and glory in the realm of human helplessness. Let me tell you why sometimes we do this. Remember when Adam and Eve, I've told you this before, when Adam and Eve first were in the garden, they sinned against God. What was their response when they heard him come into the garden? They hid from him. Why is it that when we're in the most need of God, we flee to other things? Grace finds its greatest triumph in the glory in the realm of human helplessness. Human works, see here, how do I explain this? But human works hinder the working of grace because I begin to depend upon myself instead upon Christ. My human works can hinder the working of grace because I can begin to trust myself. Christian, some of the greatest difficulties in my life, God has brought or allowed to help me not trust in myself, because that's what I want to do. And I have had sickness, as you know. I have had illness, as you know. I have had trials, as you know. And every time I could say the same theme is working through. Josh, get over yourself. Get over yourself. Trust in me. Rely in my grace. Walk by my grace. When I try to do it on my own and by my own power, I'm literally hindering this working in my life. The Apostle Paul says, I don't want to receive the grace of God in vain and just do it by my own strength. I want to live by his power. And so even in the midst of difficulty, God's grace is sufficient. Remember the Apostle Paul, the story? Paul had a thorn in the flesh. And he kept praying. He said, God, please, take it from me. I can't deal with it anymore. Whoever's had a thorn in the flesh in here? All right, not actual, a trial, right? Yeah, two hands, right? Take it. Take it. Take it. I can't deal with it. And he's praying and he's praying. He's asked God, he's asked the Lord three times. And then the response comes back. He says, listen, Paul, my grace is made perfect in your weakness. When you finally recognize that you are weak and you need my grace and you need my unmerited favor each and every day, not just for salvation, but the grace of God for daily living, Paul, your weakness is actually a blessing, because when you are getting over yourself, you are trusting in me. Do we live that way, Christian? Do we live by the grace and the power of God? I would say many, including myself, often do not. Often live by our own strength. We 100% agree that grace is for salvation, but we don't recognize that grace is for daily living. In our own human efforts, we need to trust in God and recognize that even in our weakness, His grace is greater than our weakness. The second thing I want you to understand about grace: grace does not incur a debt. Number one, grace is not withheld because of demerit, because true grace finds its greatest glory in human helplessness. Grace cannot incur a debt. There is no debt, as I have said, that cannot be paid by the grace of God. There's no debt. Remember what the verse I quoted a moment ago? Where sin abounded or increased, grace did much more abound. You have not gone too far from God that He cannot bring you back. His grace is far reaching, and I praise Him for that. You say, well, Josh, He probably does that because I've earned it. No, He didn't do it because you've earned it. He didn't do it because there's anything necessarily special about us. He's done it because there's something special about Christ. And Christ has purchased my penalty and paid for my punishment. Grace is pictured as a gift. Go to John chapter 10 and verse number 28. John 10 and verse number 28. The Bible says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand." He says, "I give unto them eternal life." That's grace. It's given. What does Romans 6:23 say that you know so well? "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans chapter 4 tells us that we are helpless without the gift of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me talk to you a few verses out of Romans chapter number 4 for just a moment. Romans 4 and verse number 4, where the Bible says, "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt." He says, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Do we rely upon the grace of God? You say, well, Josh, how does this apply to Mother's Day? I'll tell you how. You're a mother here today. What strength do you rely upon for the raising of your children? Do you rely upon the grace and the strength of God? Or do we rely upon our own abilities? Maybe you're not a mother here today, but you have difficulties, you work, or you are doing different things in your life. Do you live your life resting in the grace of Christ? Or are there fears and there's worries and there's trying to be self-sustainability and self-credit? And do you fear that God can't love you because of this or something in your past or whatever? If you have those thoughts, you don't understand grace. Grace is God giving you what you do not deserve. And, well, how can He do that? I don't deserve it. Christ, right? Christ has done it. Christ has given you grace because of His work. So grace cannot incur a debt. There is a debt to be paid. If there is a debt or something that is owed, it can no longer be grace, because grace is unrecompensed favor that God has given through the work of Christ. I have a whole list of verses here, but I won't go into each and every one of them. But basically, if you understand salvation and you understand grace, it is all given in spite of who we are, but because of who Christ is. He's done it all. He's done it all. Christ has done it all. Matter of fact, if you continue to study the Bible, you'll find that to mankind, there's three declarations. We are sinners by practice. Amen, right? We're sinners by decree. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we're sinners by nature. You found that out when you had children, mothers, right? Don't put that in your mouth. In their mouth, right? I swallowed several dimes and a quarter when I was a kid. So we're sinners by practice, by decree, and by nature. But God's grace is available to cover all three. There's forgiveness in Christ in view of me being a sinner by practice. There is imputed righteousness by grace in view of me being a sinner by nature. And there is a divine decree of justification in view of me being a sinner by divine decree. God has covered them all by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of God. It's hardly understandable. It's hardly believable that it could be this great and this amazing. And yet, through the Lord Jesus Christ, God is giving us his undeserved favor because of Christ. Now, let me ask you something. Why would God do it that way? I've asked myself this. Why would God do it that way? Why would he give grace to us as a gift through Christ? Why would he bestow his unmerited favor even in the midst of my helplessness? And I go back to my original statement from last Sunday and this. Because there is one hero, and it's not me. It's Jesus Christ. Because only one deserves the glory, and that is Jesus Christ. Only one could do what needed to be done, and that is Jesus Christ. Only one, as the Bible says, there is one name given among men whereby you must be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name given among men, right? We understand that only through Christ, and so all the glory goes to him for what he has done. Because he has given us something that we did not deserve, that we cannot earn, we cannot win, and we can't buy in any way. So I ask you this morning, Christian, are we living in the grace of Christ? Where's our fear? When you understand grace, you understand why we believe in eternal security. We're secure in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ because of grace. It's because of grace. We understand that our home in heaven is secure because of grace. It's God giving me what I do not deserve through the work of Jesus Christ. It cannot be bought, earned, or won. It's glory begun, and glory is grace perfected. And let me just give you one final point this morning, and I'll be done. If I today, this morning, if I am not showing grace, I have forgotten the grace I have been shown. Sometimes it is evident in our lives that we don't understand grace at all by the way we live, or the way we act, or the way we treat others. If I am not showing grace, I have forgotten or never realized the grace that I have been shown. Christian, as I've said, this has been something I've studied a long time. Sometimes that can be a bad thing because all these things want to crash into one sermon. But I can promise you, Christian, what I have learned, even as a pastor and as a believer in Christ, just as you, that I have learned to live by his grace. It has taken away the fear. It's taken away the doubt as I understand that Christ has done it all, and I'm recipient of his unmerited favor. God's riches at Christ's expense. Christ has done it all. There is nothing left to be done. He has paid for 100% of salvation. I joke with people, when you look at Scripture and you study salvation, you recognize that it's called salvation, not probation. Right? Do you see anywhere in Scripture where it's called probation? Right? Christ has given us probation? No, He's given us salvation. I am not on probation. I have been, don't take that the wrong way. I'm not on probation before God. I am been saved by the grace of God. My sins are gone as far as the east is from the west because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that today? Have you accepted His grace by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ? Do you realize that there's nothing you've done that's too far for God's grace, because where sin abounded, grace did much more abound? Do you recognize that God's given you His unmerited favor through Christ? There's one hero, and it's Jesus. There's one, and we praise Him, we glorify Him, because He's done what had to be done on my behalf. And God loves me today if I've come to Christ. He loves me the same today as He will tomorrow, because He loves me through the work of Jesus Christ. He's not looking on you. He's looking on Christ. He sees you through Jesus Christ if you've come to Him by faith. Let's bow our heads together. Joanna and Bethany are going to come and play a song for us this morning. Let's bow our heads together, as I've already said, as they begin to play. The most important question I want to ask you today is this one. Have you ever received His grace by faith in Jesus? You remember a day where you, by faith, trusted Jesus to be your Savior and were a recipient of the grace that He has? If you've never trusted Christ, the Bible tells us it's as simple as, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you trusted Him for grace, for salvation, forgiveness of sin? Or are you depending upon yourself? It's not of works, lest any man should boast, Ephesians 2 says. Have you trusted Jesus? The second question. Seek to live by grace in your life? Do you seek to live by grace in your life? Are you trusting Him? Are you recognizing it's not about you, it's about Him? You recognize that there's nothing that you have done that's not been covered by grace? And are you living by His power each and every day? Maybe there's a time in your life where you have weakness. Maybe God's using that to help you to rely upon His grace. For His grace is made perfect. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Grace can't incur a debt. It can't be won, bought, or paid for. It's given as a gift because of Christ. Maybe you're here today and you just need to say, Lord, thank You for Your grace. Help me to depend upon Your grace in my life. Back up here. Again, I encourage you. It's hard to talk about a wonderful subject like this in just 30 minutes, but seek to understand the grace of God, that we could live by His grace and recognize all that Christ has done, and we'll realize as we get to the understanding of this study that Christ is to be glorified for all that He has done. Let's stand to our feet this morning. We'll read our closing scripture out of John chapter 1. And we'll say this together as close as we can. All right, here we go. And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. John 1, 16 through 17. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we thank You this day for grace. Illuminate our minds and our hearts to the fuller understanding of what You have done. For we fully recognize this day that You are to be praised for grace. You are to be praised for all You have done for us through Jesus Christ. Lord, help me tomorrow to live by Your power. Help me the rest of this week and every day of my life to live by Your grace. Help me to recognize the truths that we learn from Your word about who You are and what You have done. This plan, this work of salvation, this work of Christ is beyond comprehension. It goes against anything that I would think should happen. But Lord, You have done it all. And You work in our hearts. And You have forgiven us by Christ. Lord, I pray for any that have never trusted in Christ and received His grace, that they would call upon You for salvation. I pray for any that are saved, that live every day in fear and worry and concern, not recognizing the grace that's been given to them because of Christ. Help us to live according to these truths. Keep us safe as we go our separate ways. Be with the mothers. Thank You for each of them this morning. Thank You for all they do. In Jesus' name, amen.